Ghostly Thistle presents The Antique Shop. Episode 42, The Voices We Shouldn't Hear. I won the bet. It's no really anything to celebrate, I suppose. The one I mentioned last time, between Finn and I, about Reed's line of romantic partners. I feel like the amount of time each of them lasts gets shorter by the week. I may have won our bet this time, but Finn's been in a dour mood more often than not these past few weeks. So I haven't cashed in my winnings, nor have we renewed the terms. I didn't claim to understand romance or relationships, but every time I see Reed's Lover of the Week, I get the sense I should be equally worried about him as I am about Finn. It's unusual, in my opinion. I've known him for 2 years and I've never heard him mention anyone like that. Yet recently, it's been a constant stream of them. Finn jokes, we make bets. But why do I have the feeling that something else more sinister is lurking beneath this behaviour? Do I speak to the madam? Find out if Reed's been possessed with something? Am I overreacting? Being too possessive? Christ, is it jealousy? Reed can have a life outside and exclusive of the shop. I have no right to interfere or to judge. Perhaps my own anxieties about Finn are being projected onto Reed because I can fix the ones with him easier than the ones about Finn. Reed's an adult. He can have as many partners as he wishes. As long as everything's consensual, there's no problem, and no reason for me to worry. Finn, on the other hand. I hate feeling helpless, but that's exactly what I do feel whenever I'm in the shop. It's like the burden gets heavier, the guilt weighs heavier every time I see him wandering the aisles, or trying to distract himself with a painting, an item of clothing, every mirror in the damn place. I didn't think he's really forgiven me for taking away his last toy, his chance of escapism. He's reluctant to share his finds with me, and I've stopped inquiring. To say things are strained would be accurate. It had been a quiet day. Finn was lost in the shop, Kronos and I were sorting out the jewellery underneath the cabinet. By sorting, I mean I was putting them beside him on the glass counter, and whichever one he didn't like would disappear as if by magic. So really, it was Kronos that was sorting it out. I was just his hands. Movement at the door caught my easily drawn attention. And when I turned, I saw Reed with a lad beyond the glass pane. They were standing close, talking, reaching out for each other's sleeves, arms, hands. The lad, a fair-haired, brown-eyed, gangly-looking young man, noticed me and waved eagerly, causing Reed to turn around. I waved stiffly back. The dark thought that I'd probably never see this lad again crossing my mind. When I heard Kronos' voice in my head saying that he'd seen a young lassie behave similarly towards Reed a few days earlier, I felt a pit in my stomach. Reed was changing partners more frequently. But that was absolutely fine. Nothing to be concerned about. They kissed each other goodbye and Reed came into the shop, the bell above the door echoing damply, as if affected by the dour, stagnant mood that settled in the air. I almost jokingly blurted to Reed, "What's this one's name?" before I held my tongue. Instead, I simply asked if he was happy. I thought he'd mutter something stoic. A huffy, obviously. Even a grumpy, of course. He looked startled by the question. Like he'd expected me to tease him, to judge him. He looked away from me. Not quite out of embarrassment, but something else. Bashfulness, self-consciousness. Before mumbling, aye. And that was the end of it. I asked him if he could go and try to find Finn, keep him company for a while, and he obliged, whilst Kronos and I went back to sorting out the jewellery. When the bell went again, no long after, Kronos and I stared curiously at the petite woman who came in. Brown curly hair framed a delightfully round face, but this lassie was anything but cheery. She stared at the wee shite in me as though we'd told her we'd kill her dog. She snapped a simple white card down on the scarce empty space of the glass counter, amongst the cocktail rings and pearl necklaces. I smiled in an attempt to calm her down, but she refused to make eye contact with me for long, and followed me at least a metre apart up the stairs to the front room. Only green tea for this lassie. I was taken aback. I think she's the first person in 2 years to ever ask for something else. I was even more surprised when I found some in the kitchen. Assuming it was brewed like normal tea, I scurried back in and took my place on the floor beside the coffee table. Kronos had even joined us for this one. The lassie wouldn't look at the madam much either, and appeared distracted, as though she had an earphone in and was actually on the phone with someone. This went on for so long, the madam had to prompt her to tell her story. Shifting her position on the sofa, the lassie looked down at her nails and began to pick at them. This action centred her, focused her attention. It was a few weeks ago, she began. She'd started hearing people's voices. Their inner voices. In her own head. I know better now than to assume she needs a doctor or a psychologist. She corrects herself, realising how it sounds. It's no her own thoughts she's hearing, but theirs. She can read people's minds. The madam checks that this didn't happen before, and I remind myself I'll have to ask if that's a thing actual people are able to do later. It's never happened before, the lassie confirms. It's only started in the last few weeks. I'm failing to see how this is a bad thing. The number of times I wished I could listen to a person's thoughts. I wonder if it works on animals. One morning, she'd woken up to go to work. After getting dressed and making some coffee, she went to say goodbye to her boyfriend. He didn't like her outfit, thought it made her legs look fat. She'd asked him to repeat himself, but he'd claimed to say nothing. Knowing that having a fight would make her late for work, she ignored it and left. Only to hear the same thing for strangers waiting for the bus, and on the bus, and for colleagues at work. Her legs looked fat, her hair was unclean, her makeup was smudged. It began to escalate. She was lazy, she was unprofessional, she was incompetent. All of the things that all of us fear the world thinks about us, she was hearing for people she considered pals, loved ones. It had been constant ever since. Her boyfriend, her best pals, her colleagues, her parents, her family. She knew what all of them thought about her, what all of them disliked and wanted to change. Eventually, understandably, she'd had enough. She begged the madam, lower lip beginning to quiver to make it stop. She'd never asked for this ability and didn't want it. She couldn't stand hearing all of the bad things people thought about her. I take it back, her ability is shite. I didn't want it either. Who knew telepathy could be such a double-edged sword? I was prepared and ready to stand up when the madam instructed me to go to the cabinet and fish out a woven bracelet. At first, I didn't have a clue what she was talking about. I opened the door of the cabinet and unusually, there were thin woven bands hanging from small hooks on the interior. All different colours, none the same as each other and none monotonal. Greens, reds, purples and blues, all woven together in chevrons or blocks or on a gradient fading from one to the other. Madame Norna indicated that it was a blue and white one on a hook near the end of the row. They looked like the friendship bracelets my pals and I used to give each other when we were bairns, still in primary school. You could buy them as well as make them, and it was the rage to be wearing one or more at the same time. I bet there's a mouldy box in my dad's loft full of them. I closed the cabinet and laid the bracelet on the coffee table before the lassie. My boss explained that the bracelet was to be worn for an entire month without being taken off, and eventually the lassie would stop hearing people's thoughts. Wasting no time, she snatched the bracelet from the table and tied it round her wrist, pulling on the knot just to ensure it wasn't going anywhere. She thanked the madam and left, without payment. This isn't unusual. There are some customers who are helped for free. I presumed it was because someone else, probably Madame Nora, had cursed the customer to have the shittest kind of telepathy. I said as much to the madam, asking how the bracelet would halt whatever curse had been thrown at her. Her red lips curved, and stupidly, I thought I'd impressed her by hitting the nail on the head. I was proud of myself for about 5 seconds. Madame Norna began to shake her head gently, the smile turning into a condescending smirk. The customer wasn't cursed at all. I know my boss doesn't make jokes, but she was kidding, right? Did the customer really just wake up one day with this horrible ability? That wasn't a thing. Wouldn't we have had customers like her before? Wouldn't it be on the news? Wouldn't there be even more YouTubers and TikTokers? Noticing my confusion, and probably being so used to it she could draw it from memory, the madam explained that although it was possible to curse someone in a similar way, nothing of the sort had been done to that lassie. She was doing it to herself. She wasn't hearing other people's thoughts at all. They were her own fears and insecurities that she was mentally projecting onto the people around her. When she thought she was hearing their voices in her head, it was just her own voice masking itself as theirs. That's why they only ever said negative things about her. Her low sense of worth and lack of confidence had created a demon of sorts, one that haunted her mind and one that was excellent at impressions. No one was thinking those things about her, only herself. There was no curse, only the customer. There didn't always have to be a Madame Anora, or an enchanted object, or an eternal grudge. There was plenty of power in normal people, in the ones that walked past the shop without noticing it. Some people didn't need to be cursed. because they were more than capable of making themselves suffer. The bracelet was more placebo than anything more concrete. It would work for a while. But eventually, if our demons aren't vanquished, they'll keep coming back. So I haven't cashed in my weddings? Nope, that's not right. He can have as many partners as he wishes. As long as everything's consensual, there's no problem. Consensual? Yes. The madam checks that this didn't happen before. And I'm blah 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 blah. I closed the cabinet. Blah 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 blah. This isn't unusual. There are some customers who are helped Thank you for listening to the antique shop. Nope, that's wrong. Oh my god, how long have I been doing this for? There didn't always have to be a Madame Honora. Or an enchant... Fuck. Oh dear. Thank you for listening to episode 42 of The Antique Shop. Episode 43 will be released in 2 weeks' time. If you'd like to support the show, please think about leaving a review and rating wherever you listen to podcasts. If you'd like to go above and beyond for the podcast, then think about visiting our Ko-fi account by searching for Ghostly Thistle on ko-fi.com and donating however much you can. If you'd like to get in touch about this podcast or my other podcast, then you can message me on Facebook and Twitter by searching for Ghostly Thistle or email me at ghostly.thistle@gmail.com. If you are interested in some of the behind the scenes and inspirations for the episodes in this podcast, then do join the subreddit by searching for the Antique Shop Pod on Reddit and join in the discussion. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.